The fire, which was meant to destroy us, has instead united us. I'm Josh Haston. This is a special edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com for the 28th of November, 2016. And if you haven't heard the news, what's been going on here in Israel in the last several days, and I don't know how the mainstream media in the U.S. and all over the world has been covering the situation here, but the enemies of Israel have been trying to burn us to death. Literally, Israel has been on fire over the last several days, starting, I believe, last Wednesday, going on to Thursday and to Friday, with hundreds of fires, most of them, I would say, being deliberately ignited by the enemies of the Land of Israel and its people all over the country, north, south, east, west, Judea, Samaria, all parts of the country, deliberate fires being set by those who are trying to burn us, by those who are trying to destroy us here in the Land of Israel. But the exact opposite effect has happened. Even though in places like Haifa, where a quarter of its population, we're talking about 90,000 people, had to leave their homes, as we saw the images on TV of houses being engulfed in flames, schools and homes and businesses and yeshivas, over 600 houses destroyed. As we saw that happening there, and in Beit Meir, and in the Beit Suf, and in the in other areas of the hills of Jerusalem, and in Kiryat Gat, and fires in Modi'in, and fires in Gush Etzion, and fires all over the country, whether they were set in a coordinated effort, whether each fire inspired the next arson and the next arsonist from acting. Regardless of what it was, the fires which were meant to destroy us instead united us. The outpouring of love between Israelis of all walks of life is nearly unprecedented. I've seen similar love in unfortunate situations when the three boys were kidnapped and murdered just several years ago, leading to the war in 2014. We saw a nation united in support for the families, a nation holding on and hugging one another in support as we were going through one of the most difficult periods in our country's history. The same type of spirit, true tikkun olam. You talk about tikkun olam, this is real tikkun olam. The things that I've seen in the last 48 hours alone, the support and the love and the help, people going out of their way, completely altruistic as volunteers, helping each other get by these trying times, is nearly, if not completely, unprecedented. Whether it's people in places unaffected inviting strangers into their homes, offering meals to those affected by the fires, clothing drives, the things being organized. If you go just on my Facebook feed, Joshua Haston, and see some of the things I've been posting, these aren't my initiatives. These are efforts being made by so many others, by organizations and individuals who are trying to do what they can to help. Fundraising campaigns being launched for the community of Neve Tzuf, people who have lost their homes, restaurants being torched, an artist in Beit Meir losing his gallery and his precious art, but yet so many willing to now go and buy other art so that he has money. Communities gathering to support and to help firefighters and give them a warm meal and a place to stay. Major campaigns by big organizations to try to buy more fire trucks. All of this happening right here. The unity shown. And, you know, people say often that Israel is isolated. And if you look at the UN and all the resolutions passed against Israel, you'll see isolation there for the most part. The prime minister says it's getting better. But all of that is out the window, or it has been out the window over the last several days. Airplanes, firefighting airplanes have been sent in from countries all over the world, from Greece and from Turkey, from the Czech Republic. the U.S. sending in the 747 supertanker, which holds over 19,000 gallons of water. 40 U.S. firefighters, according to our good friend Gil Hoffman of the Jerusalem Post, arriving here in the country. All of this taking place under the most difficult circumstances. And let's not forget the miracles. The miracles are everywhere. Thank God. Nobody has been killed. Please God, it should continue in this way as a result of the hundreds of fires which were set by evil individuals. Israeli Arabs, unfortunately, those with citizenship have been arrested. Arabs under the Palestinian Authority have been arrested. There have been plenty of Arabs who have been working to stop the fires. Let's not get that misunderstood. But those who either launched this campaign of hate in a coordinated effort or were inspired by others to do so came out of the Arab community. Many of those who have citizenship, those who lit these fires, just proves that this is not their country. This is not a place they love. Nobody would light a place they love on fire. But back to what I was saying, the miracles that we've had, thank God, nobody has been killed as a result of hundreds of fires throughout the country. And we have to thank Hashem for these miracles. And it's truly, truly remarkable, the unity that we've seen here over the last couple of days. If only we were this unified when we didn't have fires, when Israel wasn't burning, then I think our situation would be a lot different. My name is Josh Haston. Again, a very emotional time here in Israel. This is Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. In just a few minutes, we are going to listen to an interview I did yesterday with Yaakov Katz, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, to get his take on the fires. I also discussed with him last week's major conference in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Post Diplomatic Conference, attended by the Prime Minister Netanyahu, Defense Minister Lieberman, and on, distinguished guests, leaders in this country who gave their opinions on the state of affairs here in Israel. Yaakov Katz will discuss that and, of course, the current situation as it stood yesterday afternoon in regard to the fires. So you don't want to miss that. Be in touch with me during the week. Josh@thelandofisrael.com is my email. As I mentioned before on Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. And especially this week, not only to see what I'm posting there in regard to some of the other events taking place in Israel, but to check out how you can help. Plenty of people are contacting myself and others on Facebook asking, how can I help those affected by the fires? A lot of good suggestions there by individuals, campaigns, professional organizations. If you want to get involved, please go to my Facebook page, take a look at that, and let me know. Send me an email. Say, I found this project on Facebook on your page, and I'm donating. I'm sure the people at those organizations and those individuals would appreciate it to know how you found out about the important work they're doing. On Twitter, @JoshHaston, you can follow me there. We're going to take a short break, come back with Yaakov Katz from the Jerusalem Post. And again, I cannot begin to describe, I'm trying as best as I can, the emotions and everything being felt here in the Land of Israel. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. We'll be right back with Yaakov Katz, Josh Haston, Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
This is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. My maternal grandparents, Grandpa Morris and Grandma Lily, came to the United States from Russia over 100 years ago. They belonged to the Mizrahi movement way before there was even a state of Israel. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.
And we are back. Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 28th of November, 2016. Hope you're doing well. Don't forget, you can be in touch. Josh@thelandofisrael.com on Facebook. I have a new account. It's Joshua Haston. Look me up, or on Twitter @JoshHaston. Now, yesterday I had the privilege of interviewing Yaakov Katz, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post. And by the time this is airing, things could have changed on the ground. But I wanted to talk to Yaakov about the situation, of course, with the fires, the arson taking place here in the land of Israel. Fires are still burning, not as bad as last week, the end of last week. There's still a lot of activity on the ground. We have forces from all over the world who have come in. People have sent fleets of planes to help out. And I wanted to speak to Yaakov about the latest situation from where he's sitting here, high above Jerusalem at the offices of the Jerusalem Post. So without further ado, we'll play Yaakov Katz. Yaakov, thanks so much for joining us here on Israel Uncensored at the Land of Israel Network, thelandofisrael.com.
Thanks, Josh.
Tell us where things stand today, Sunday, in terms of the fires which have been raging across the land of Israel from north to south, Judea and Samaria, all over the country. Haifa, the worst affected, with thousands evacuated. Here, Sunday, what is the latest on the ground in terms of the fires, the arsons, let's call them what they are?
There's still some fires that are going on, mostly the big ones that took place in Haifa and in the Jerusalem envelope area. So some of the villages near Jerusalem seem to have come under control. But there still seem to be some fires that are sprouting up in other parts of the country, some still in the West Bank a bit. We saw that video footage over the weekend of a Palestinian who was setting a fire in one park in a forest area nearby some community. So there's definitely, and they've arrested already 20-something Arabs and Druze and Palestinians who appear to be suspects and involved in all of this. This is a problem. Is this a new type of terror? Is this a new type of violence? It definitely could be. And we need to be able to prepare ourselves for how to deal with this on a larger scale and in the future.
Yeah, but I'm seeing in the news and all the various outlets mixed sentiments, mixed reactions in terms of whether or not this is actually a new intifada. We had the stabbing intifada, as it was called. I mean, and what do you think? Do you think this is a new type of intifada, the fire intifada, if you will? And at the same time, you know, it can't be. It just can't be a coincidence that 200 fires started. We know some have been arrested. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Is this a new phenomenon? Is this going to continue, in your opinion, from what you know from the reporting going on here at the Jerusalem Post? What are your thoughts on all of this?
Look, I'm wary of using the word intifada. I think that intifada speaks about a massive, large-scale, industrial size, potentially, right? Even with state backing, round and cycle of violence. That's not what we're facing yet. That wasn't what we were facing even with the stabbing intifada, where you had a lot of lone attackers who, yes, were coming under incitement, but were not being pushed by a state entity necessarily or supported actively by a state entity. They were suffering from the incitement from that state entity. But anyhow, here you also, we don't have a massive large scale. We have some isolated incidents. And if it turns out even that out of the 200 or 300, even I've heard 300 being used of fires that broke out, that a significant percentage of them were set by people who were doing this because of terrorism. This is an indicator that there's a new type of way to attack the Jews, a new type of way to attack Israel, a new type of way to try to destroy the Zionist enterprise inside the land of Israel. So it's something that we need to think about, how to counter that, how to prevent that, how to deal with that. What concerns me the most, though, to be honest, is that if I think about how just now fires, right, 75,000 people evacuated from Haifa, one of our largest cities in the country, because of the threat of fire. Now, what happens tomorrow? God forbid, we're facing a massive missile onslaught from Hezbollah in Lebanon or Hamas in Gaza, coordinated at the same time with fires. All of these countries who have come to help us won't come because they won't fly into Israel. We remember, Josh, right, in 2014, when there was Protective Edge and there were rockets landing near Ben-Gurion, the American, the FAA, shut down all American flights to Israel. So you can imagine that the Croatians, the Greeks, the Cypriots, they're not going to come here with their firefighting planes to help us when there are missiles landing here. And then we'll be left on our own to fight with the missiles and to put out fires. That's going to be a problem. So this is something that we need to be thinking about today to prepare for that potential scenario.
And on cue, I believe even this morning, there was some activity on the northern border. I don't know if you have a chance to take a look at that. Apparently, some ISIS-affiliated groups or whatnot, some terror groups, fired into Israel, and I believe Israel responded. I mean, maybe this is an isolated incident. Maybe it was just something that happened today. But give us the latest, if you know, on that situation in the north now, as the country is really focused on the fires and dealing with the fires and all these other things are going on, including an incident at the northern border.
Yeah, I mean, we occasionally face these incidents along the northern border with Syria. You have a lot of different organizations that are operating in Syria right now, from ISIS affiliates to Al-Qaeda affiliates to Iranian Revolutionary Guards and Hezbollah and Syrian army. There was an exchange of fire over the border in Syria earlier this morning, and the IDF responsibly retaliated, as they should, to immediately send a message that this won't be tolerated. But you're right. This does show just how volatile our region is and how volatile the situation is along our borders, and how within minutes or moments you could find yourself in moving in a direction that could lead to a massive or large scale escalation and conflict. So we need to be very calculated, very prepared, and very cautious in the way we do things. And that's why I think the fire and the way we handled it was done well, because thank God, as we're speaking today, no one has been killed and no major injuries. But with that said, it could have gone in a different direction. The same applies to what's happening along our borders. So when we look at the whole situation as one, the challenges are immense, and it really requires a steady hand to direct and manage all of these different potential points of conflict and friction.
So speaking of points of conflict, friction, and everything else going on here in the land of Israel, you guys here at the Jerusalem Post held a major conference last week, a one-day event at the Waldorf Astoria in Jerusalem, the annual diplomatic conference here in Israel, and you had the cream of the crop in terms of our leadership, from the prime minister and the defense minister, the former defense minister, all the way down. And people can check out, I think you can still watch it on Jerusalem Post at jpost.com. If you missed some of the highlights from the conference, check it out. I mean, you're talking about the top officials here in this country. And you, I saw, sat down one-on-one with Avigdor Lieberman, our defense minister, with all those experts and speakers and members of Knesset, ministers, and the prime minister himself. What is the one thing that you personally took away from that conference, maybe something you didn't know from the past, from our elected officials, from our leadership in here as we look towards the future? Again, this was at the beginning of the fires. It wasn't even really top story here. The Jerusalem Post conference, of course, that was the top story, but because you had all the cream of the crop. But what did you take away? What did you learn talking to our elected officials in terms of state of affairs here in the land of Israel?
Look, I think my big takeaway was something that we've written about and we talk about a lot, but to hear it from everyone almost really struck the point home, was the sense of uncertainty that we have here in Israel. It's a sense of uncertainty that exists, for example, because of the change of power now in the United States. What will Donald Trump be like as president? What will his policies be vis-a-vis Israel in comparison to Barack Obama's policies? And how will that affect policy here in Israel? No one knows, because no one really knows what Trump stands for. But that's just on the Trump side. But look at, you know, we mentioned what's happening along our borders. The fact that you don't have a state entity that's in control of Syria, the fact that you have Egypt, which is still undergoing some seismic movements and underground there in Egypt, the fact that Jordan is teetering on the brink of, you know, survival or stability, and you look at Libya, which is no longer a country, and Yemen, which is no longer a country, and Iraq, which is no longer a country. So the failed nation states that surround us create immense uncertainty for Israel. And you kind of heard that in everyone's speech almost, is, okay, so how do we prepare for this? How do we create strategic alliances in light of this uncertainty? What do we do with the Americans now? What are our relations like with the Gulf states? Do we have ties? Do we not have ties? Why are they interested in ties? And then how do we maneuver, and how do we build a military when we think, you know, we spoke with Lieberman, for example, about new arms deals, and how do you build and create a military that's relevant when you don't know what the new threat will be tomorrow? So all of that together, I think if there's one word that best describes Israel today, it is a amazing state of uncertainty. With that said, though, and you know this, Josh, is how amazing we're doing as a country, economic growth, social growth, you know, spiritual growth. So that's the amazing contradiction of the state of Israel. Is on the one hand, we live in complete uncertainty, but it doesn't slow us down.
Absolutely. I'll agree with you there. Staring out the window with the beautiful view here in the Jerusalem Post building in Jerusalem, it's just another bright, sunny day in Jerusalem, even with the chaos around us, whether it's the fires, whether it's the situation in the Middle East, whether it's the firing at our northern border this morning. If you go outside here, it's such a unique country to have such a mix of emotions back and forth on another beautiful, sunny day here in Jerusalem. Yaakov Katz, editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post. How long have you been on the job, Yaakov?
8 months now.
8 months. So you're already a veteran editor here of the J Post. I want to thank you for your time. Let's all be safe. Have a great week. And thanks so much for talking to us here on the Land of Israel Network.
Thank you, Josh.
So that was Yaakov Katz yesterday, Sunday. In terms of the situation and the fires, things might have changed. And keep it here at thelandofisrael.com with all the great show hosts who I'm sure will be focusing on the fires as we go through the week this week. So I just want to thank Yaakov again. Keep in touch. I love your emails. I'm happy to read your emails on the air. It's Josh at thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, Joshua Haston. That's my new Facebook account. On Twitter, at Josh Haston. Most importantly, between now and when we, please God, speak next Monday, everybody out there, wherever you are, if you're here in Israel or anywhere else around the world, be safe. Thanks so much for joining us. All the best and have a great week.
Hello, my name is Tommy Waller. I'm the founder and president of HaYovel. More than 12 years ago, I made my first trip to the Land of Israel. What I saw and heard changed my life forever. I stood with Nir Levi, an Orthodox Jewish man, in his vineyard in Samaria on the Mountain of Blessing. There he opened his Bible and read the prophecy of Jeremiah that said, "You shall yet plant vineyards on the mountains of Samaria." This fall, during the grape harvest, we have the opportunity to join Israel as it celebrates the 50th year of the liberation of Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Come join us as we witness the unveiling of prophecy in the Jubilee year. Come be a part of the biblical narrative. Go to HaYovel.com, that's HaYovel.com, to find out more, and I hope to see you there.